Ephesians chapter 6, this is lesson 81, and we're starting the last chapter of the book of Ephesians, and it's working its way down. And if you know what we went over in chapter 5 already, he's laying out a structure of authority. Jesus, man, woman, children, and on down. So chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thou father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, what this is about is the word obey means to get under authority. That's what it amounts to. And the children should get under authority of who in this verse?
Parents.
The parents. In order to who? To please who? Themselves?
Yeah.
The parents or who? The Lord. That's the thing here. Turn with me right quick. Hold your finger and get Matthew chapter 10 and Colossians chapter 3. Matthew chapter 10 and Colossians chapter 3. Be turning to Matthew chapter 10, and I can read you Colossians chapter 3, because there's a parallel passage that interprets it for you. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. In other words, obeying your parents and the Lord has to do with getting under authority of your parents in order to please the Lord in how many things?
All things.
You know, children, I'll keep going, but the thing is, children needs guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Children needs instructions. And you might say, well, when he says obey him in all things, so you might please the Lord, if they tell you to do something wrong and evil, do the children supposed to do something evil?
No.
You know, many of us say, well, my parents told me to do this. Your parents told you to punch that guy in the face? Your parents told, you know what I mean? So the thing is, you know it does not mean that, don't you? Because if your parents told you to do something evil, go out and rob, steal, kill, you don't do that. And I think God puts a conscience in every one of us. But from a child, remember when we talked about the child being born, the first thing they see is their parents? And that is the first sight of a godly thing that they see. You know what I mean? It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. You ever notice that? You know, sometimes we do wrong in ignorance, but we want the chance to do right again, don't we? But we never want to do wrong the first thing to get a chance to do right. That's the opposite. So the end never justifies the means. You guys know that. I told you to turn where? Matthew chapter 10. Look at this passage for a second. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Now, what do you know about the book of Matthew?
It's
about a kingdom on where? On an earth. So it's about a king setting up a kingdom, and you're going to do certain things in the kingdom. You're going to do what the king tells you to do. Ephesians chapter 6 is very clear, one I've talked about, but Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 through 39, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now notice the situation here. If they love their mother and father more than they love him, what's the outcome there?
Unworthy.
They're not worthy of him. So the problem is that there's a mom and dad would keep you from doing what Christ would have you to do. That's the problem there. And therefore, they're not to follow mom and dad in that situation. If we have kids, and many of us had kids, and they want to follow the Lord, and I'm so stubborn and say, no, you don't follow him, you follow me. You know, a lot of us look at the situation and say, okay, they're being obedient to their parents, But this saying, you better follow me, the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're worthy. Now, but that's what you're reading in Ephesians chapter 6, 1. And go get Luke chapter 2. We're turning some things. Luke chapter 2. Children, are get under authority of your parents, for this is right. There's a verse in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. I'll read it to you for sake of time. It says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. And this is why you're supposed to obey your parents, because you have a testimony and demonstrates what's inside of you. If you had godly parents and you was bringing them up and you obey them, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, but now we have adults, children, and they're out there doing their own thing. Are you over them anymore? You're not. And sometimes it's sad what we see our children doing, and it just crunches our heart, but we got to keep saying, the Lord will deal with them. The Lord will deal with them. So every child that does that, you are under authority of your parents in order to please the Lord, and that is the will of God in you. Now, I'm looking out here amongst our congregation, and there's very few children in here. You are mature adults here, and you might be thinking, what's that got to do with me? How many's got grandchildren? You know, that type of thing. You can affect them. If their parents are not living God-like, and you got a grandchild, you know who Timothy was? He learned from who? His grandmother and mother. So we still can have an influence on our youth. No? Yes. You can have an influence on all kinds of kids. But the thing is, obedience is tremendously important, because children come out of into the world. Do they come out disobedient when they're born, or obedient?
Disobedient.
Yeah. Why? Why is that?
Nature.
Sin.
Because they're our children.
Yeah, because what nature?
Sin nature.
Sin nature. The world, it comes in the world, that old sin nature, and that is disobedient. Now, we look at a kid sometime, we can say, oh man, that's a great little kid. He does everything I say. But you turn your back. And see, just turn your back on them a little bit and see what they're into.
One of the first words they learn is no.
No, exactly.
Not mama.
Yeah, you know, that type of thing. It's no, no, no. I'm like, where did you learn that from? Luke chapter 2. Children have to learn to obey, and they learn to obey by being taught. You have to teach a child. You know, I made mention earlier about us, many of us, that comes to understanding who we are in Christ Jesus, and then you learn the word rightly divided, you're like a little child. You're like, you know, teach me. So when you teach right division, it's kind of an educational aspect of things, that you're learning things. And I tell you, there's probably not a one of us in here today or listening, the fact that you kicked against the pricks on a lot of this stuff. It went against everything we've been taught in a denomination. But you know what? I hope you believe the word of God versus what man says. So Luke chapter 2 is an extremely helpful passage with regard to children. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Jesus is talking about when he was a child. And Jesus increased in four areas there. Luke, what did I say to you? Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, right? And Jesus, what did it say? Increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and with man. There's four areas right there that when he was a child, he started learning some things. Now, who is the Lord Jesus? Is he God? Now, why would he have to learn anything about wisdom and knowledge?
Yeah, he said all knowledge from the moment he was born before.
But you think about this thing, though.
Humanity.
See, he's never experienced some things. He knows all enough, but the attributes of who he was, do you think he might have gave them back to the Father so he could learn what me and you did and wisdom? And then when he was 12 years old reading in the temple, you think he knew he was God? You know, Well, you know, this is not, you know, heresy or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. He is God. But at the same time, I believe he started learning who he was through the Word, just like you and I learned through the Word. So, what is it? And so there's four areas that children need to grow and increase because they have lack in these areas. And Christ did not have the same kind of lack that you and I and our kids did because who's his daddy?
God.
He had no sin about him. But you and I did. Right?
Yeah.
You and I had sin. Now, when you minister, and you and I minister, you need to understand that children need to be taught to obey their parents and to honor their father and mother. They need to have the proper mental attitude towards their parents. You know, kids out today, you know, it's strange that this came up. Kids out today, some of them don't like their parents. They don't like to be told what to do. You know, they don't like authority. And what they do, they rebel against it, don't they? You know what's going on in the world today here close by. People's rebellion against the authority of their parents. And who knows what their parents is? That's the thing. And we're going to look at that. Because if they're going to respect authority anywhere down the line, it has to begin right there. We got people today that's turning on the authority all over the world. Locally. Whether you like the police authority or you don't, whether you like the government authority or don't, there's people turning against them because they don't want to be under authority. Listen, there's not a one of us today don't like to be told what to do. We really don't. Even though you know that job and you got somebody over you, you don't like to be told what to do. And you're like, I have to submit myself under a supervisor. He may not know anything about this business, but he is there for a reason. He's my boss. And I can respect that position, but I don't have to respect the man. I respect what? The position. Look, it's just like if you was in the military, you know, and you may not like that first lieutenant, but you salute the rank, not the person. And you go on about the same as sergeants and stuff like that. But these four areas, first is wisdom. Kids lack discernment. They don't know how to discern things. And you know what? We let them know, it's your choice. You know, that type of thing. I'm like, no, it's not your choice. You need to tell them and show them discernment. They have a mental deficiency. The lack of discernment and instruction and knowledge, so you have to teach them. And you can't expect a child who have not been taught to know what to do. You know what I mean? And sometimes I'm guilty, like, I come home, well, why didn't you mow that grass? Well, Dad, I don't know how to start the lawnmower. You don't know how to do what? You know, that time, well, did I ever teach them? Did I ever teach them? You know what I mean? Chances are, was probably no. You know, you've got to put gas in a lawnmower to work. You got to check the oil every once in a while. You know what I'm talking about? We teach our kids. Somebody taught us, or did we learn the hard way? I burned up a rotor tiller one time because I took for granted that I borrowed it from you. Then you had oil in it. I didn't know it had burnt. Well, I didn't ask questions. Nobody told me, said, hey, check that oil every time you start that engine. And I think I was an adult then too, you know what I mean? But the thing was, you know, I was a child in an aspect. You've got to teach them. For example, we have kids come to church, not so much our church, but and that's not raised in a church, sitting and walking around the building. You ever notice that sometimes, not here, but you're just up and walking around.
Right.
Why? They've never been taught to sit down in church. They've never been taught to sit down and say, okay, this is the time you're going to learn. And they don't know how to sit down. They just get up and go. You have to teach them to read and write and those things like that, don't you? I mean, shouldn't you? And there's a lot of things that you teach your children mentally, and discernment and understanding and knowledge. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and they became And then they increased in stature, and that is physical. What's that?
Stature.
Stature, thank you. Most of the education that you give your children in your home, unfortunately, is probably physical. Do this, don't do that. You know, you leave your kids' training knowledge-wise to who?
Teachers
or themselves. Many of us don't have time. I asked my wife today, did you teach our kids how to read and write? You know, we homeschooled for a while, didn't we? You know, that put a big responsibility on my wife. Me too. Because I was the principal. You know, they didn't want to come see me. But at the same time, we leave the school systems to teach our kids how to read and write. And if you think what I'm starting to say now, what's going on in the world with all these killings and stuff like this, it may lead up to understanding why we are the way we are, our kids. We turn them over to public school systems and government schools and even Christian schools somewhere. You don't know what to do with these things. And how much do we teach our children about discernment? How much knowingly do we teach them? Many of us probably, even when they come home from school, sit down with them. Read to me, you know, because that was their lesson. You know, some of us like, I don't have time for that. Go ahead and, you know, sad but true. Just go over and sit in the corner and finish your homework. And they're out there in La La Land sometimes trying to do their homework, and then they get a C or something like that. And then we're like, how did you do that? Why didn't you get an A or B? My kid deserves an A or B. I've seen her work. Well, did you help them? Did you teach them? But look, we teach them physical things. We teach them how to walk and run and play ball and do gymnastics or whatever. We're all over that. But have you taught them about wisdom and reading and knowing who they are in Christ Jesus and stuff? Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says, "And then there's favor with God and man." Favor with man is just means that they need to be socially acclimated. How you get along with people. That type of thing. If you isolate people, they wouldn't know how to get along with kids. You know, that's why a lot of people talk about homeschool groups. You know, they can't get along with people in public schools. Well, that's public schools saying that. You know, if you teach your kids the right way, you'll teach them how to get along with you and I. And when children come into the world, they are totally selfish. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. So what do you got to teach them? Let Johnny play with your ball. You know what I mean? Don't be selfish. No, this is mine. Well, take your ball and go home then. You know that type of, you know, just leave. I'll play with Charlie over here. You know that type of thing. So it's you learn humility and unselfishness. And then there's favor with God. Children do not naturally grow up to love God. Did you?
No.
No. Mm-mm. Today's system teaches you that you are God. Mm-hmm. That you can become God. You got to remember back in the garden, guys, they wasn't just God the Creator and Adam and Eve and Satan. Satan says you'll be like what?
Gods.
There was other fallen angels and stuff out there in that world that was gods. You got to remember the 10 plagues of the 10 commandments that went against 10 gods that Egypt worshipped. And God, the Creator, put every one of them down. That's why it's very, very important when you talk about God. Yeah, I believe in God. Do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. God who? And I'm not talking about Elohim and all that, all the names of God. He's got some. God the Creator, God of the Bible is who I'm referring to. And people's like, wow, you know. But anyway, favor. And so these are the areas that they need to be taught to obey and not just to run rampant and to run wild on their own and brought under the authority of the parents. You watch kids sometimes out, and I thank God my kids was pretty rampant sometimes. But you look at other kids, you're like, whoa, I'm thankful my kids are not like that. We all can say that. But look, Do you know that the school systems, government of Christians, were called parents in locale? That's a Latin word called locale parenti. It means parents in location. And I know some schools, Christian schools, stuff like that, what do we used to say? Like complementary home, school, and church, right? All three of them work the triangle. That's what the school system's supposed to be. They're supposed to have been parents in location. They're supposed to have been an extension of the parent from the home. And the teachers was extensions of that parental authority. I remember times you give permission to your teachers to whip your bottom if you did. Hey, I went to school sometimes with a stripe across my back and then got some in school. I didn't think I was mean. I think I was mischievous. But I didn't tell on people. So they assumed I did it. So guess what? I was the example and I got my bottom busted. My grandfather used to make paddles. Because he's in a woodworking shop for those colleges. He used to come over by the dozen and get them this long, you know. And their schools carried them. And I remember in the fifth grade, I took Mr. Owens a new paddle. And guess who got used first? Yeah.
I mean, that's an example. You were type of Christ, taking the beat before the other guy.
Well, that might be true. I didn't think about that then. I'm thinking like, wait a minute. He did it, but I ain't saying it.
Maybe you shouldn't give him fuel for his steer.
Well, you know, but the government has changed all around, and they say that they are the authority. And this is why, and we let our kids, as long as we treat them the way they say we should treat them. And back and forth. And the government says you can't treat your kid that way. And you're like, you stay out of my life. And then they say, no, we're coming into your life. You're coming to school, we're going to tell you what you're going to. Your kid said this, we're going to investigate this. And it's just like they're become authority. And you think about a lot of things that's going on right now, and you mentioned it a while ago, we're reaping what we're sowing in America today. I've talked with some of you. Some of us is born, say, in 1970 and back. You went to elementary school and middle school and probably half of your high school under authority of God. You said pledge allegiance, you said a prayer, and then you did exactly what your parents told you to do. If not, you got consequences. But today, it's not that way. They don't know who God the Creator is. And then you wonder why kids are doing things. Not to be political or anything like that, but you have a group of kids over some shootings today that's protesting. They're going out, and somebody paid their way to organize a trip to Washington, D.C. Yeah. Now, let me ask you something. Could little Abby organize a trip to Washington, D.C. and pay for everybody? So there's funding coming in to say about protesting about what? We need gun control. We need control on this. Listen, and I'm borrowing this from some things. We're supposed to listen to kids that eating Tide Pods? That don't know who God is? That don't have no authority? So we're reaping what we're sowing, guys. And I blame it on us. I blame it on my parents that we didn't have the backbone to stand up against a governmental system and say, no, you're not changing this school. And what it is, we became so weak, we didn't want to stand up because we didn't want to be called Bible thumpers. You know, we're Christians. We're supposed to turn the other cheek. How's that turned out? They've taken your kids and ruined your kids' mind. Believe me, I've got kids. And I thank God some of them's turning their minds right now. You know, looking and searching some things. I challenged my kids, all of them challenged to read 3 chapters through Paul's epistles. I know what it would do for them. To get them in line of who they are today in this nasty now and realize, hey, there's some decisions out there. But I think about that all the time, that we done that. We can't point at you know, Joe down the street because he didn't know Christ. Joe down the street couldn't care less. But we allow that system to be broken, and that's the four institutions. Remember, volition, marriage, family, and human government. We're in the family, learning about the family now in this lesson. And so it's all backwards, and it should be the other way around. We should be, the school systems out there should be extension of the parents, but what's the parents doing today? There's no homes.
Checked out.
Yeah. They're, you know, I know people's got five or six kids with three different women. You know what, you know, and we can say, well, that's culture. No. You support it. I mean, you need to be there. You know, I ain't saying to be ugly, but it's true. And then we, the school system stand up and say, hey, little Johnny, you know, he did this day. How dare you to give him this and that? Then you're going to jump on the school system because they're correcting your children because you didn't have the backbone to correct them to begin with before they went. So I'm telling you guys, we got an opportunity to change some things. We might not be able to change our 28, 29, 30-year-old kids, but if you got grandchildren, you can start teaching them when they come over, you know, when they come over to your house and you got little Jude and you're teaching Jude about Bible things and teaching about this and teaching about, he won't forget that. He won't forget that. Now, I might be going against their parents and they said, I'm not sending them over to see me and pop-pops no more because all you want to do is tell them about the Bible. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to change of who I am at this age. But children need to be taught and obeyed. Chapter 6, verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 1. We've got to remember that, guys. You know, we can, as much as you don't like the current president of the United States, you still got to respect his authority and his position. You know what I mean? Just like the last one before and the last one before. We can go back to the last five presidents and point fingers at every one of them like they're all in cahoots. Mm-hmm. But you still got to honor that authority. That's what my apostle tells me to do and pray for them. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a time for some reason, whether, you know, not to get political, guys, the president we have right now, he could turn just as bad as anybody else we ever had. You know what? And the government would probably love that. But right now, I think we have an opportunity to stand on who we are, because if not, they're going to take your freedom away. And that's the last volition. They done changed the human government. You ain't got protection today like you had before. The family is destroyed. Marriage, it's a union. You know, if you want to marry an animal, they probably would promote that.
Yeah, regular folks don't want to get married no more, but the gays, they want to get married.
Yeah, you know, and then you got the last, the first thing is free will. And that's something God Almighty does not violate, guys. He never would step and say, well, he would never violate your free will. He says, it's your choice, you're going to suffer consequences. And that's what we need to teach your children. I know sometimes my kids wanted to do so much, and I know they really want to do it. But I said, if you do it, you're gonna get your bottom busted. And you know, sometimes they would take that bottom busted just because they wanted to do, you know, go out with their friends at, you know, at a party or whatever the case may be. And you know, I just put a stipulation on it, and they was willing to take that bottom bust. I was the same way. Mom said, you go out that road. When you come back, you're gonna get spanked, and you're sitting there like, well, maybe it won't be as bad as I think it is, you know. And you go out the road, come back, she's there, she's waiting. But anyway, let's move on. Verse 6. Chapter Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You get them under authority of the parent in order to please the Lord, and in order to learn and obey, in order to learn to do the things that they ought to do. Is he talking lost or saved people here? Saved. Now, how in the world would a lost parent be able to teach your kids to obey? See, that's another thing, see? You know, the kids, I believe God got a conscience in everybody. And if you're teaching them right things, and you may never learn Jesus Christ, they'll go searching for Jesus Christ, and they'll be receptive to it. Verse 2, honor thou father and mother. This is the attitude that children should have towards who? Their parents. You know, sometimes parents show their children they don't deserve honor, do they? You're going to tell me not to smoke and drink, and you're out here smoking and drinking. You ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
You ever? My dad does this, so that's okay. I can do that. My mom does this. She's never home, so the family's broken down, guys. And the attitude is of love and respect. And they should have the attitude of confidence in them, not the attitude of bitterness and fearful and reluctant and selfish and unwilling and gripping and nasty. You know, we can be fathers, but we have to be stern sometimes, don't we? But we don't have to be nasty, do we? But they'll call it nasty. Oh, my dad's a mean guy. Well, how is he? Well, he just makes me do my homework. Or he makes me do chores before I can watch The Big Bang Theory. You know what I mean? Oh, man, your parents are bad. You should come over and live with me. Or you should, you know, that type of thing. They should have an attitude of love and respect, giving honor to the parents. And parents are to teach their children to respect authority and honor their authority. See, that's where it's at. You know, we got kids today that's going through an institution and they're being taught to rebel. There's colleges, and many of you probably been there, that in California or even here in Ohio, that teaches you to rebel against authority. And people's paying money to do that. I'm thinking, you could have saved you $52,000 a year and just stand on a corner and rebel against the government. You don't need a degree to do that. That's something else. Continue verse 2. Which is the first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and mother is one of what kind of commandments?
Ten commandments.
That's good moral things, you know. We're not under law. We're not under law. These are moral things that you want to teach people. And the first commandment that had a promise to attach to it. And the other commandments threatened death, but this one promised life. It says, verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live as long on the earth. In other words, if you fulfill the promise, you're going to have to get the promise in verse 3. You honor your father and mother, and you get what?
Life.
Thou mayest live long on the earth. I always threaten my kids, see there? If you don't honor me, you ain't going to live another day. You know what I mean? That's what it means to me. How you going to live long on earth? You know, that thou mayest live as long on the earth. Back in Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn there, but I'll share these. It says thou mayest live as long in the land which the Lord thy God promised thee. Israel, if they did that, they're going to live where? In the land of promise. And Paul doesn't quote it that way because it's not what he's getting there to. He's not talking about living in the land of Palestine and fulfillment of the Mosaic Covenant. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Our promises were?
Heavenly.
Yeah, we're seated where? In heavenly places. Are you on a Mosaic Covenant? Or are you under the Grace Covenant?
Grace.
Or I shouldn't say covenant, but the Mosaic. Do you know that Mosaic laws died when Jesus Christ was born? Crucified. You know that, don't you? When they come back over here and live in the land, they're not under Mosaic law. They're under the Messianic law. He's fulfilled everything. He is the law. And in Christ Jesus, we fulfilled the law in Christ Jesus. So everything in Christ has been taken care of as far as being under law. You're not under law, you're under what? Grace. He's talking about children learning to respect their parents and to be obedient and submissive to authority. Submissiveness one to another. Isn't that what we was looking at? Even children should submit to one to another and work with others. Wives are subject to their husbands. Husbands are subject to the wife. And children are subject to the parents. And as you learn that, you are instilling it into the kids. if my kids was young and they seen Sherry being submissive to me, you don't think that would go in their mind and say, wow. And me being submissive, would my child, my son would want a wife like his mother. And my daughters would look for a husband like their dad. But sometimes that don't work out that way, do they? Flesh gets in the way, don't it? And all that stuff. We know. We've been there. Done that. Got a t-shirt. Got a cup holder or whatever it is. And it costs $3,000 for one cup holder. I still, but let's move on. Anyway, but our children are learning to do things and live in such a way. They're going to have a full, rich life. And they're going to live long on the earth. The idea is not that you honor your parents and obey your parents and you can walk and play in the street and not get run over a big truck. The idea here is not that if you're not going to get cancers, you're not going to get, you know, eat the wrong things and things like that, you're not going to get sick. That's not the idea where. It's not that kind of thing that you're going to live long. It means that you're going to have a happy, established life no matter what comes your way. And you may live long, that you're going to have a full life of contentment no matter what happens. That's the key, isn't it? You know, living the life who you are in Christ Jesus, a long, prosperous life in who? Christ. Not on this earth. You know, you can win it today and lose it tomorrow. We always talk about if. You know, the principle, the law principle, it's like a hinge on that door. If you do this, but if you don't, you know, that's not what he's talking about here. But go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll get through this one and then I don't lie to you, but I haven't seen you all week. Anyway, 1 Timothy is the issue of establishment is what Paul is getting at. Chapter 4. And as the family unit functions, there is an establishment that it produces. He is not promising that if the children obey their parents and honor their parents, they won't die accidental. It's not promising that they're going to have a lot of money and they won't get hungry. And they always going to have nice clothes. And a bomb can't blow them up. It's not promising you that. Hey, what do you know about God the Creator today? He's not a what?
Respecter of persons.
You hear that?
Yeah.
God don't respect you more than He respects me. He's not going to give you more than He gives me. We have all riches and treasures in Christ Jesus. You with me? But if we choose to do some things, it says in verse 8, for bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that is now, and of that which is to what? Godliness promises something not only in this life to come, but in the life that we have now. If you live godliness. And what is he talking about? That's what he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3. It's just simply getting all that God has for you out of life. It has to do with being able to enjoy life now in the fullness from the point of view of getting everything God Almighty has in your life. Listen, when I know I'm rich in Christ, what can you take away from me? When I know I'm seated in heavenly places, what in the world can you do to me? If my mind's set that way, and I've been taught that, what in the world can you do to me in this world right now? Go ahead. Take it. You want to call the, what do you call them? People that collects money from you?
Garnish
way? It don't bother me. Oh, but Ed, that credit report, you know. Go ahead. Threaten me. I got a wife. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm just saying, in my mind I'm saying that because you can't hurt me. But as a society, as a member of society, yeah, I'm going to pay my debts. You know, I brought them up. Yeah, I made them. I'm not expecting anybody. That's why when I went to work, 17 years ago with this company. I listened to all their spiels about what we want. I said, okay, I need two things from you. Don't lie to me and don't mess with my paycheck. That's all I ask. I'll give you an honest day's wages. I don't expect you to give me no more money than what I earn that day. Now, if you get it out of kindness or bonuses, that's you doing it. But I can't expect, hey, but you owe me and these favors. You would never cash in on those favors. Will you do me a favor? Will you run this trailer over? You just do it because you got the time to do it. It's my job. You know, I got my driver of the year that time. And I was like, whoa. I just did my job. And they recognized it. You know, that type of thing. So you do your job and good things might happen to you. But if we live under authority and with the respect of the institution God has established and we walk in the principles of God has laid down for us, the Lord is great and is great now and is great in eternity future. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's go there right quick. You don't have nothing else to do. There's no Cleveland Browns playing. The Indians are out in Arizona. Oh, but golf is on. They're in Mexico. Oh, I've got to see the closing ceremonies of the Winter Olympics. I'm just joking with you. If you got to go, you got to go. I know that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. You there? My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. In other words, keep my commandments and do what I say. Listen, if you're a parent and you're telling your children to do some things, that's serious. That's almost like a commandment you're telling your kids. But verse 2, for the length of days and long life and peace shall added to thee. The idea is not that you're going, if you are doing what God said to do back there, you're not going to get run over by a chariot, if you will, or get sick and die. They did that back then, though. You know that? They did get run over. They did die. They did perish by the sword, didn't they? All that. But the natural consequences, you got to remember this, of living in a fallen creation are not what he's talking about eliminating. You're going to die. Aren't we, Tom? And some of us is like, I'm not ready, but we're going to die. If we don't get run over, if we don't get blowed up, we're going to die naturally. And some of us are like, come quickly, Lord. I would rather go right now than go 6 foot under and take that dirt bath, wouldn't you? You know, I'd rather see us rise up together. But if not, those of us that are saved, we are, we'll see each other in eternity. And he's not talking about that. He's talking about for length of days and long life and peace shall thou add to thee. There's a passage over there. You don't have to turn there yet. You're in chapter 3, right? There's a passage in chapter 23, verse 29. It says, who hath contention? Who hath woes? Who hath run without a cause? And he says this. You know what he's talking about there?
Drunk.
There you go. The drunker says that. And if you don't get drunk, it isn't going to add some more days to your life if you don't do it?
Sure. You're abusing your body.
If I'm not popping pills and abusing my body and drinking, you know, strange drinks or whatever, I'm talking about drunker now. You know, many of you talk about casual drinking. That's between you and whoever. But this is talking about somebody that's abusing their body, ain't it? And all that stuff. How many days is he cutting off his life? Hey, I used to smoke them cigarettes. Enjoyed it. Used to dip that snuff. Oh, man. But you know something? One day it clicked on me. I'm shortening my life. And if the Lord wants to take you out of here, he's going to take you out of here no matter what. You know that, don't you? You know. But how much more can we be productive in our age if we're not abusing our body? So, if you don't lie and steal and cheat, won't that add peace to your life? Mm-hmm. you have peace of mind that I don't have to worry about I lied to Tom or Howard, you know, or Jacob. You know what I'm talking about? It gives me a little bit more days of my life. He says the righteous is bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursues. He has a guilty conscience, and that's the kind of thing he's talking about. And you can have a clean life, never smoke, never cuss, never drink, never run around, never do any of those things, and God can use you to whip the dickens out of the world. You ever notice that? Well, Julie don't do that thing, or Howard, or Ed don't do those things. And you look at the wicked world, they're into it, aren't they? If you live for the Lord, there's more in life than there'll ever be in any other way. I think many of us know that. I was talking to my wife the other day, if I don't get myself in trouble, which I usually do, y'all know that. I know what the Bible says about certain things in my life. You know what I mean? And if I choose to eat certain things, I know what the Bible says, what's going to happen to my body. Or if I choose to do certain things, I know what, but I know what the Bible says. I don't try to run from it. I don't try to hide from it. It's truth. You with me? I don't try to cover it up. It's a choice that I don't want to do. And that could shorten my life. Because I make my wife mad too many times. That frying pan's getting awful hard. You know, this plate in the back of my head. You know, I'm just saying some things. I know what the Bible says. And this is what it's talking about here. Proverbs 3, 16, 17. Let's look at this right quick. I'd like to get through a couple of these Proverbs, but it's getting late. 3:13. Happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and gain thereof gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that can desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Hey, what do you know about precious stones? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. This is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is what you want. Worldly things out there, it's only for a season, isn't it, guys? Many of us have saved up, pennies and scraped all our life just for what? For our children to take it. Aren't they not? I mean, minutes, and you're like, I hope one day they can understand what it meant to save what little that I have to give to you. You know, and it's just sad, but that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, how many of your kids today is wanting to hear that versus, hey, I need $50. I need $200 or they're going to come after me. You know, they much rather have what?
Quick fix.
Yeah, quick fix. You know, but you say, okay, what are you going to learn from this? I'm still learning a lot from a mistake I made in 2008. And I'm just like, you're not getting nothing. The girl's still alive. You know? It's signing a loan. I told... I probably shouldn't record this, but I said, why don't you tell them you had a knife to my throat? It made me sign that paperwork. That'd be, I was like, just give me it. But anyway, let's move on. Look, but he's saying you're going to get rich. He's saying, he is not saying that you're going to get rich every time you follow wisdom. He is saying that the value when you follow wisdom. Listen. There's not a child today, and sometimes I look at my youngest son, he's 23, soon to be 24, I still look at him as a child. And I'm like, if you just had this wisdom, and it's funny because he bought these tires, right? And he noticed in his truck at 49 to 50 mile an hour is doing this, okay? It didn't do them when he had those old tires that was rounded off that kind of made the difference. So he went to Firestone, and they want $600 and some, and they said it could be the tie rod on the tie rod and the pit arm. I said, Josh, you need to go on and educate yourself of these things and go to the next station and say, okay, could it be this? Well, make a long story short, I said, why don't you rotate the tires and see if, because people said it shouldn't be the tires, they're brand new. Now, I grant you, I did buy some brand new tires one time, and my cousin was a tire dealership, and he said, you see that either white mark or blue mark, that means they're kind of seconds. And they sold me one that it never did stop shimmying at 115 mile an hour. You know, and I was wanting that 125 to 130 kind of leveled out a little bit. But I'm wanting to get long story short. I said, Josh, why don't you rotate them? You know, back in the day, you went crossway. He says, Dad, you can move the front to the back and back to front. I said, no, you can't. You know, he said, yeah. He says, Dad, I've been studying up on this. It says left side, right side. That's the only side you can go. This way, back, rear, back. You can't cross them. He said the tread. So I learned a little wisdom from him. But I was trying to tell him rotate the tires. Well, you can't rotate if the tread's going backwards. It would push it instead of roll. But anyway, I'm just thinking about the wisdom that I want to bestow on my child. And I'm listening. Sometimes we have, many of us have got adult children or young adults. And when you sit and talk to them, isn't sometimes it's a pleasure when you sit and talk to them, you can have an adult conversation? Yeah. You know, isn't it? It's like, wow, this is exciting. And you can find out what they learn and what they do. But sometimes they'll look at you and like, okay, here comes Dad's opinion. You know, and you're like, and you can ruin the moment. But he all of a sudden you have a new perspective on life and you see something far more important than money and material. This is what the lesson we're talking about here. You know, you're teaching your kids. And through the outward man perish, the inward man is what? Renewed what? Day by day. How you do that? And this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh far more exceedingly than eternal weight and glory. You have some wisdom and understanding of that. It's taken many of us a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, half a century. Yeah, 6 decades. To understand, wow, there's more to profit out of the Word of God and out of His wisdom than it ever was in a school system or even at work. So there's profit. Proverbs 4:10. We'll close on this one, I promise. Next week we'll pick up on Ephesians 6:4. Proverbs 4:10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. You understand in the Old Testament there was a promise of physical longevity given to the nation of Israel under certain circumstances. Mm-hmm. Many of them got cut off, didn't they? Mm-hmm. You know, if you did this, you got cut off from that nation. That nation was going into promised land to live forever. If you didn't was obedient, you got cut off from that nation. You lost some things physically. They wasn't spiritual yet, was they? You know, they was physically. And that is not what he's trying to say in these passages. And that is not what the passages are talking about with Paul. But it's true back there. It's not true today, guys. And it's not what Paul is getting at in Ephesians chapter 6. He's getting with the issue of life. And there is a full and rich of spiritual things. And one that is blessed above having that divine establishment and proper function of who you are in Christ. So when we teach those kids to be obedient to Christ, you're teaching them about the words of God. And if you want to show them what Jesus Christ learned, everybody wants to follow Jesus. And so he learned in wisdom and knowledge and understanding and in favor with God and man. He learned how to live with them heathen over there, didn't he? If you think about it. You know, he's like, one, he said, don't go eat, you know, just stay away from them. You know, that type of thing. But today, if you got godly parents If you ever had godly parents, I'm pretty sure you can say, thank you, Lord. You know what I mean? You know, they did bestow some good things on us. But some of us might have had one parent was godly and the other one's not godly. Mm-hmm. You know, and we were scared and we ran and all that stuff. And some of us are still running. But the thing is you know, the world today, we still have an opportunity to reach the lost person. And it's not going to change unless they become saved. And get in the Word of God rightly divided. You got to get in the right doctrine. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.